Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of God, the 12th Hour, in the Lexington Elgin area. We're out in the country between the two. Today is April the 13th, 2024. It is the fifth day of Zif, 2028. We are going to start our first service today with a song and a prayer about, and then we're going to go into our main sermon called The Covenant of David, and we're going to start with Psalm 89, verse 20. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. So his antipical David that's talking to you right now, at least I have his antipical message, he is also anointed by the word of the truth that he has given to me to understand how to interpret these scriptures as they unfold. That I have found David, my servant. Okay, verse 21. With whom my hand shall be established. There it is right there. And we're living proof today that he already has done this. My hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. For the enemy shall not exact upon him. Nor the son of the wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face. He says, and he says, and plague them that hate him. And plague them that hate him. That's in Yahweh's hand. That goes along with Isaiah 66 verse 5. When I think about this, what I just read, and Isaiah 66, verse 5, let's read it. It says, hear the word of the Yahweh. Let's go ahead and interpret Yahweh here. Ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yahweh be glorified. Well, actually, it is glorifying now, sure, when they fulfill this down in Corinth in 2002. But that he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. This has already come to pass. Even Brother Johnson's associate and anointed pastor, Daniel, that was anointed to continue Brother's work after he was gone. He lived 20 years, and he passed away in December of 2023. 75 years old. 10 years younger than me. Alright. So I say that you as sinners become ashamed before the face of the world. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 39, verse 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. This is that David, and in my name shall his horn be established. And we represent this horn that has been established in the last days, the horn of David. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. Rivers is your local places that run alongside you out here. Verse 25, I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. Now the sea, spiritual interpretation, when you see that word sea mentioned in the Bible, it's talking about eternal life. And it says, the sea also represents all of these occupied planets out here in the universe that's got living human beings on. There's at least 11 others that makes up the house of Jacob as his 12 sons represented, 12 planets, according to Joseph. And this earth is one of those planets. This earth is one of the 12. Okay. Salvation flows Ezekiel 47 river. It starts in the temple. Forever present truth is being established. That's where this river began. Starts as a little trickle. Once it gets out of the sanctuary and outside, then it grows into a great river that you cannot cross it. And then it goes into the great sea, which means eternal life. It flows and meets with the other 11 planets of the house of Jacob. Now there's millions of planets out there, so I'm not... It's so easy being distracted. I don't mind telling you. That's the only thing that really I have trouble with. Now she's okay. And I want your attention 100% on this subject. That's the only thing I have a problem with. He shall cry unto me, verse 26, Thou art my Father and Savior, Redeemer. Now he's talking about the Son here. He says, He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my Redeemer, and the rock of my salvation. Now Yahshua is the rock of his salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Now when you go do a study on his firstborn, you'll find out that is the firstborn of the spirit, which is always the secondborn of a family. The secondborn is the one that's born among the progenitors of the righteous line. Adam was the first progenitor of the righteous line. His son, Abel, the secondborn, was born of the Spirit. The firstborn Cain was born not of the Spirit, but of the flesh of the devil. He was carnal. He was the seed of Satan. He proved it by killing his brother, Abel. Yahweh had to raise up a third son for Adam that took Abel's place, the second son. The second son is always born of the Spirit of a righteous people that are progenitors. That word progenitor is a very key word to remember. Esau was born as the firstborn to Isaac. He was designated to be the progenitor of the righteous line to carry on from Isaac. That was the custom. for the first part. But because he despised his birthright, he lost it. The second born, Jacob, born of the Spirit, cleared himself out, and he ended up with the birthright. And the progenitor of the righteous line to continue on down through to the end of time that we're in now. Okay. So that being the case, here we are today, and now he's raised up the house of David in his last days, antithetical, to be a progenitor, to bring forth, to continue on, and we'll join up with Yahshua when he comes back from heaven in person to start the harvest. I want to know that our descendants of the righteous line can have any part in these last days with the fulfillment of prophecy with Yahshua leading the way and sitting upon the throne of David in the house of David. Say so in the prophecy of Isaiah 9, verse 16, and in the Luke 1:31, 32, and 33. Alright. It says, verse 27, also I will make him firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Now, what does that tell you? It's antithetical David. He's going to rule over all the kings of the earth. But it's in the prophecy of Daniel 2:44 and 45, it says, in the days of these kings shall Yahweh raise up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Well, that's this kingdom of David. And it says he will never be destroyed or left unto other people, but it will grow into a mountain and fill the whole earth. So what does that tell you? We're just at the mercy seat this time on this thing today. Verse 28, my mercy will I keep for him. My mercy will I keep for him. Who is this him? This David and his righteous descendant that sits upon his throne forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with him. So Yahweh and his judgment stand fast with us. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statute and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with the staff. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. And we might be well turned to Jeremiah 33, verse 20 and 21, and read there something there. It says, thus saith Yahshua, this is actually the Son talking, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that this should not be day and night in their season, and may also my covenant be broken with the David, my servant, that he should not have his son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Okay. So, you see, right there's a promise that this David is going to have somebody always sit upon his throne. That's Yahweh made a covenant with him back then. And let's go back now to Psalm 39. It's a, and it says, verse 35, once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not be, will not lie unto David, that I will not lie unto David, for his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness and the heaven. That thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth of thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant, and thou hast profaned his crown by casting it unto the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges, thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. Now let's go to Amos chapter 9. And I just flipped my second one, I flipped back to it, just like that. First one, I saw the Yeshua, the Son, standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. Okay, so, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them, I guess is what it means, of them shall not be delivered. So they dig into hell, then shall mine hand take them. So they climb up into the heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves on the top of the Carmel, I will search and take them out then, and though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them, and though they go into the captivity before their enemy, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set my hand eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Yeshua of the host, verse 5, is he that touches the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn. And it shall rise up holy like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of the Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven. Amen. Or in the heaven, singular, and has founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. For Yahshua, it should say, of the host, this is done. So we have a cross reference on Amos 5:8. Let's see what that says. This is, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with the night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Yahshua of the host, the sun, is his name. That gives me another verse, the 4:13 of Amos. It says that, for lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind, this is actually the Father that has created all the things, so I guess we're talking about the Father here, has been the creator of all these things. What is his thought that maketh the morning and darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth? The Yahweh of the Lord, the God of the host, is his name. Well, now the host is talking about those, all those stars of heaven. So he says he might create them. So he's the creator of all the hosts of heaven. All those planets, that's what they call the hosts of heaven. All right, we got that one kind of dealt with. And he says that, verse 7, are ye not as children of the Ethiopian unto thee, O children of the Israel? This is verse 7. Saith Yahweh, have not brought up Israel out of the land of the Egypt, and the Philistines from their captor, and the Syrians from Tyre? Behold, the eyes of the Yahweh are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Yahshua. What's the sinful kingdom? Obadiah, only one chapter. It's called Edom. It's called Esau's kingdom. Firstborn of Isaac. That had the birthright, and Jacob ended up with it. Okay. Amos 9:9. For lo, I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all the nations, like as corn is sifted, and as sieve, yet shall not a rich grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. Okay. That is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruin, and I will build it as in the days of old. I have a new divine revelation here. This is Yahweh the Father talking. And this tabernacle of David was started raising it up at Chuma, Texas in 2002, when Yahweh changed the guard down there from the house of Esau to the house of David. So at the Passover 2002, we were there, we witnessed it, we participated in that Passover, Catherine and I did. All right? That they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name. Well, the only body that's called by his name is to build the house of Israel. Anybody outside the house of Israel is not called by his name. I can tell you that. So the one that is called by his name today would be the seventh day Adventist church. And all of her daughters. Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Carmel, the shepherd rod. Gilead, the Davidian branch, Davidian seventh day Adventist. That's where I was a member of for 33 years, the Soto Shansi. Said that they that possess the remnant of Edom, that would be Esau's, and of all the heathen which are called by my name. Well, the only heathen that are called by his name is David, the seventh day of his church. That's left. Scripture is for today. Which are called by my name, saith to Yeshua, the dirty. Behold, the days come, saith to Yeshua, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop down, drop the sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That's talking about these small churches. All the hills are small churches. Mountains are kingdoms where these here headquarters of these churches reside at. Verse 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. Let's start with 144,000. They're in the four quarters of the earth right now, the 144,000 are in all four parts of the earth. And they're in captivity to those nations where they are at right now. That's the reason why Isaiah 11 is a prophecy that delivers them from the four corners of the earth. He says he's going to smite the river into seven streams. He's going to have seven different directions to bring his remnant from the four corners of the earth to his holy mountain in Israel. He says, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of the Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, all right, for these captivities of Israel have been brought here to Texas, believe it or not, representatives of these people, and we've got waste cities. I see this on the computer all the time. We have news people that go out with cameras, and they're videoing all these dead ghost towns of Texas. I just saw it again yesterday. They said, a town I never even heard of in Texas. A complete boarded up little town. They tell there's nothing there anymore. Okay. And they shall build a waste city and inhabit them. And they shall plant the vineyards and drink the wine thereof. That's the reason I'm telling them where we live right here. We're going to plant a vineyard right out here. We're going to at least try to, they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. This is what I've been crying about, garden. I've got some good soil right around my house. We're going to plant some good stuff this year. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Yeshua. For he's given the house of David, Texas, to start to rule over the nation, because Texas is an independent sovereign nation of its own. It was made that way in 1836 by our forefathers here, when we had the Civil War. Where the Republic of Texas fathers in 1836 established a constitution and called it a sovereign nation that has always been a sovereign nation. Right now it's under the United States by a chapter of nation status by a joint resolution of Congress, and that's all that Texas is today. It's just a say-so in Congress. If they're a captive nation, so chapter says that belongs to the house of Jacob. And that's who's going to possess it. The sentence that the time of prophecy is fulfilled for it. All right, let's read Obadiah. Let's read verse about 20. Obadiah, it says, verse 17, that upon the Mount of Zion shall be deliverance. Okay, that's who we are. We're this Mount Zion, the 12th hour. And there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Whose possession? The Seventh-day Adventist possession. They're Mount Edom. It says that the house of David don't possess Mount Edom in the tribe, and he did. Yeah, and Mount Edom today is another name for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, not only here in Texas, but all over the world. So the house of David is going to possess all their possessions. Whew! They have billions of dollars of possessions. All right. It says, in the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. Which translates, there's no going to be no more of these here Satan worshippers that's taking the mark of the beast in the Adventist Church today, with that false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the three in one person of the Godhead, which negates the sanctuary service being restored in these last days. If you teach that false doctrine, you have no need to be teaching how to be saved by the blood of the everlasting covenant through the established restored sanctuary system that was raised up and restored by Lotus W. Johnson in 1970. Okay, so actually, Lotus Johnson is responsible for starting Yeshua raising up this Tabernacle of David in 1970. With the creation calendar, restoring the sanctuary back to his rightful order and the ordained system of true worship to be performed, which Brother Johnson practiced half-heartedly and off and on for 33 and a half years. Okay. So that made him of the house of Esau and of Edom, because he was the angel of the seventh candlestick, let us say, which is Seventh-day Adventist Church. Brother Johnson was the last prophet to preside over that candlestick. So all Brother Johnson was just a prophet to the Adventist Church. The last prophet. During the fourth movement, bringing the fourth movement to a close, Adventist Church had the fourth of the five movements that they are for Israel. Adventist had the fourth one, 1844 to 2003. They had the fourth movement. Brother Johnson was the last one to sit upon the throne of Edom, Esau, which was actually established as the throne of David. Yeah. And there it says, verse 19, Obadiah, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau. So who's of the south? That's the line of the tribe of Judah. That's the lawgiver. That's who is the ones of the south. Say so, right there on your map of Israel today. You stood up on your map. Judas is south of Samaria. Samaria is the headquarters for the 10 tribes of Israel. Judah in the south country, the lion country, are in Jerusalem. Israel. That's where the headquarters are today. That's where they are here in Texas. And the captivity of the host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem shall, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors 4,000 suffer upon the Savior by Yahshua himself shall come up on the Mount Zion for the judging of the Mount of the Esau, the house of Edom, the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, and the kingdom shall be long unto Yahshua that sits upon the throne of David. And you can go and read about that in Luke 1, 32. Let's go read it right now. Let's go read Luke 1, 30 to 33. It says, a long chapter. It says, and the angel said unto her, this is Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with the Father Yahweh. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the High. And yes, Yahweh the Father shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob, the 12 tribes, 144,000, Revelation 14, 1, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is Yahshua sitting up to his everlasting kingdom when he comes back with the throne of David, on the throne of David. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, for the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Yahweh. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with the Yahweh nothing shall be impossible. There you have it. That's a wonderful, wonderful verse. For with the Yahweh the Father today, nothing shall be impossible. Okay. Now let's go read down Isaiah. Let's go read Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 8. It says, okay. It says, for unto us a child, Yahshua, is born. And unto us the son is given. And the government of the theocracy of the Israel in the last days of the David shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, and his name shall be called the Wonderful, the Counselor of the Mighty Father Yahweh, his Father. As the everlasting Father, as the Prince of Peace. So Yahshua is going to inherit that position as the everlasting Father of those that he had redeemed by his blood. Now Yahshua graduates from being a son as being the everlasting Father of all those that he had redeemed by his blood in his last day. Because it says he's going to sit upon the throne of David forever, and he's going to rule over the house of Israel, tabernacle of David, forever as a son? No. as the everlasting Father. Well, I'm a son. I have a son named Grant. He had a son named Andrew. And Andrew has had a son that's a year old now. So that's how it works. Okay, and so now let us go and read a little bit now about Mount Zion, the 11th hour, track 8 by the Vichyahara. We're going to start with page 3, and this is a very, very interesting. We've done this track many times before, just dealing with this subject as Vichy Hollis understood it in his day, and it was given to him to understand, and he wrote a very good tract up on it. He says, all right, it says that for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth, and the Gentiles shall be my righteousness, and all kings my thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt be called by a new name. Okay. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the... Actually, this is Yahshua talking here, in the hand of Yahshua. And a royal diadem in the hand of your father, his father, Yahweh. Isaiah 62, 1 to 3. Wonder of the divine love, fruition of the exceeding precious promise that the Yahweh will continue speaking unto her until she become a great and powerful and resplendent light in all the world, and a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahshua. The purified house of the Seventh-day Adventists by the 144,000 is seen standing with the Lamb on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1-5. For the revelation of the Yahshua, which the Father Yahweh gave unto him, for the showing unto his servants, the 144,000, things that must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, Revelation 1:1 and Revelation, I guess, Revelation 1:1-5. Okay. This affirmation that the prophet or the prophetic events which John was privileged to record were to come to pass not before but shortly after his receiving the revelation of them shows that the prophecies of the revelation were to be fulfilled sometime during the New Testament period. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from the heaven as the voice of many waters, the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man can learn that song that the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Revelation 14:1-3. Prior under this prophetic event, by the standing of the 144,000 upon the Mount Zion, a door was opened in the heaven. And the first voice which I heard, says John, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sword ironstone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and in the side like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were the 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in a white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of the gold. And before the throne there was a man, there was a sea of the grass like unto the crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the four beasts full of the eyes. Those four beasts are representatives of all the people that was born and found in the Lamb's Book of Life from Adam down to the cross, full of the eyes before and behind, Revelation 4:1-4 and 6:1. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the old dews, which are the prayers of the saints. And I beheld and I heard the voice of the many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. That number that I just quoted you, about the tens of thousands, that equates into 100 million. That mathematically translates into 100 million. That's how many witnesses the angels were around that throne, that judgment throne that we're just reading about. And wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings, Revelation 5:8-11. It says, for the Lamb standing at first before the throne in the heaven stands later with the 144,000 on the Mount Zion, and upon the earth, though the elders and the beasts round about the throne remain in the heaven. So correctly understand this prophetic event in its entirety, we must carefully differentiate the part which takes place in the heaven and from the part that takes place on the earth. where it would necessarily have to take place for it to denote that the event occurs in the sanctuary. These things, therefore, are of the two different events. In the two different locations, first the sitting of the throne in the heaven, and the standing, and second the standing of the redeemed with the Lamb on the earth, while the activities embraced in the throne scene are still in the progress. Moreover, the statement, "I will show thee things which must be hereafter," places the events in the antitypical apostolic era of the New Testament. And the statement stood as a lamb, as it had been slain, bleeding in the sinner's behalf, places them in the probationary time. Then from a comparison of the Daniel 7, 9, 10, and 13 with the Revelation 4:2-5:1, already quoted, the fact is clear that both visions are of the same event, the judgment of with the two phases of the dead and the living, starting in 1844. First the judgment of the dead, and then the judgment of the living. For the one reveals it occurring in the period of the nondescript beast, the second stage, after the horn, which had the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, had blasphemed after the reign of the ecclesiastical Rome from 538 to 1798 AD, and before the beast was slain and his body given unto the burning flame, Daniel 7:11, before the Rome's destruction. And the other vision revealed it taking place sometime in the antiquity of the apostolic period and within the probationary time that we are in now, the 12th parabolic hour, since 2002. Daniel saw thrones cast down or sit up, and the Ancient of the Days, Yahweh the Father, sitting as the judge, showing that neither he nor the throne were there beforehand, evidently on the rest of the throne seats that set the 24 elders. And finally, he saw the Son of Man, Yahshua, as the advocate, mediator, for mankind here on this earth, by his blood, brought before the Ancient of the Days, accordingly, both the Daniel and the John saw the judgment sit, and the books opened. And as John saw the 144,000 standing on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, after judgment sit and before it was closed, the event consequently comes neither before nor after the judgment, but during the judgment. And now remember that John's vision of the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1. Reveals Yahshua as a savior, for as his vision of the Lion of the tribe of Judah standing before the judgment reveals him as a king. Okay. For the judgment of the living here in the 12th parabolic hour since 2002. Correlated, they show that while he is then as a savior, he is at the same time as the king of the kings. And when it says king of the kings, it's talking about the kings of this earth. It now being clear as to when the 144,000 emerged, increased, and the interest follows as to who they are, seeing that they are followers of the Lamb as a Christian, or believers in the present here, also the sons of the Jacob. They are therefore Israelites indeed, and not Gentiles. Whosoever has been converted to the apostolic belief, accepting whosoever has been converted into the untypical apostolic truth of by the accepting of Yeshua as his personal savior has had an experience that has completely overthrown and revolutionized his former plans and hopes for his entire way, as his entire way of life. For he has, let's do it again. It says, and has an experience that has completely overthrown and revolutionized his former plans and hopes of his entire way of the life. For he has renounced the world and all of its pleasures of sin for a season, Hebrews 11:25, and has become a new creature in the Yahshua, born again, heir of the kingdom according unto the promise. This is what Yahshua meant when he declared unto the Nicodemus, "You shall be born again." And Paul, having this experience in mind, said, "If you be long unto the Yahshua," descendants of the Abraham through the seed of David through the Yahshua, "then are ye the Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:29. Regardless, therefore, whether one be Jew or Gentile, he can have no part in the everlasting kingdom of the Yahshua. Daniel 2:44-45. Save through the second birth, by which he becomes one of the seed of the Abraham. This spiritual transformation, nevertheless, does not fix anyone's racial identity and tribal lineage. It cannot, in the other words, make one as a Judahite if he is not a descendant of the Judah, or make him as one of the Ephraimites if he is not the descendant of the Ephraim. Consequently, the 144,000 being of the sons of Jacob cannot be of the Gentile nation. They therefore, first of all, are the lineal descendants of the Jacob through, not necessarily of the present identifiable Jewish stock. This brings into our study for this first hour. We're going to go and continue on part two of this here Mount Sinai, the 11th hour. We're going to go into it now. Continue on with the part two. Okay. For the 10 tribes, as the northern kingdom of the Israel in the tithe, with the headquarters of Samaria, were carried away and scattered throughout the cities of the Medes and Assyria, north of Israel in their day, 13:17-6, and so completed, submerged in the Sea of the Life of the surrounding nations, and assimilated that they were utterly lost sight of, racially, unto the human reckoning. Similarly, as the two tribes, the southern kingdom of the Judah, with their headquarters at Jerusalem, were carried away into the Babylon in the north, in the area where the ten tribes were also carried to, in Assyria, because Babylon later on became known as this continuing name of Assyria, with only a few returning unto the Jerusalem of about 50,000 after the 70 years of their captivity was accomplished, by the multitude also of them also lost their identity. Then also, as the early apostolic congregation, being made up of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin only, known as called Jews, the Judaizers, for the apostles, being in the number of 120, the exact number, in the upper room, Acts 1:15, and the 3,000 souls who were converted on the day of the Pentecost, Acts 2:41, were all from the tribe of Judah, Judaizers. Think about that. There were no members of the ten tribes present on the day of Pentecost. Only the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, as were indeed virtually all those who were added daily for the first 3.5 years after the crucifixion, Daniel 9:26-27. In Acts 2:47. And even after this period was over, and the apostles were commissioned for the taking of the gospel unto the Gentiles, Acts 13:46, many more Jews became typical apostolic believers in the Yeshua and his blood of the everlasting covenant that the Son represented by his dying on the cross, and subsequently as the apostolic rather than as the tribe of Judah were scattered among the nation. Okay. So it was the believers of the Jewish nation at the cross after the cross, that they were the ones that were scattered among the nations starting in 66 A.D. And by 70 A.D., they had succeeded in escaping into the nations around them from Jerusalem at the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus. Okay. Clearly, therefore, in each instance, most of the sons of the Jacob lost their racial distinctiveness. As the Yahshua, however, has ever kept the genealogies of all the nations, especially of the sons of the Jacob, he will, as he has promised, make mention of the Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this man was born there, and of the Zion in Judah, he said this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her, for the Asher shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Psalms 87:4-6. This is as obvious as strange is the fact that no one today but the recognized Jew can vouch for his ancestry, with the result that the 144,000 can be gathered from almost every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and yet be of the sons of Jacob. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the word of the prophecy, then this connection, that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people that shall be left from the Assyria, and from the Egypt, and from the Patriarchs, and from the Kush, and from the Elam, and from the Shinar, and from the Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign, meaning he's going to set up a flag, a banner, signifying that the house of Judah, tribe of Judah, and Yahshua conjointly are ruling over the house of David, the lawgiver from the tribe of Judah, or the nations, or for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah. The dispersed of the Judah is where the 144,000 comes, are gathered back in the last days. They're called the dispersed of the Judah, from the four corners of the earth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of the Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, O you children of the Israel. Isaiah 11:11, 12:27, and also verse 12, chapter 27. Since therefore history, logic, and scripture combine their evidences for the proving unconditionally that the Yahshua has preserved the genealogy of the chosen branch of the human race Israel forward from the Adam unto the Noah. Forward from the Adam, everyone that is in the line of the progressive Rosh Hashanah. Adam unto the Noah, Matthew 1:1-17, and backward from the Yeshua unto Adam, Luke 3:23-38. He must then, for a consistent reason, also have preserved the identity of the 144,000 as the elect of today from the advent of the church of the first fruits offering. And this we see is precisely what he has done, and is designating the lineage of the 144,000 as of all the tribes and the children of the Israel, Revelation 7:4. And though we know not what we are and cannot ever of ourselves tell, as the ones who knows all about us, even unto the last hair of each head, knows our precise ancestors, although those who are to be gathered from the seed of Jacob are, says the prophet, as the sand of the sea. That would be the Gentiles then included. Whereas, comparatively speaking, the identifiable Jewish race of today is but a handful in the nation, and therefore cannot today be the ones unto whom apply the terms Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph. Alright. So let's say that. Going back for a moment unto the historical approach unto our subject, we recall that after Solomon's death, the Israelite nation, the 12 tribes, was divided into the two separate kingdoms, 1 Kings 1:11 and 12:19. For the 10-tribe kingdom occupying the northern portion of the promised land was called Israel. Also Ephraim, and occasionally the house of the Joseph Israel, because of its majority of the tribes, Ephraim, Isaiah 11:13, because his king came from Ephraim, and Joseph in Ezekiel 37:16, because he was the father of the Ephraim, that the two-tribe kingdom occupying the southern portion was called Judah, because this kingdom were of the tribe of the Judah, and therefore its descendants are called Judeans, not Jews. Jews is a slang name that was ascribed unto the Judean people by those that hated them the most, and that was the Greek Orthodox Jews that translated the New Testament. They're the ones that hated the apostles and the descendants of Israel of the Old Testament. And so they changed their name from Judeans to Jews, J-E-W-S. Actually, Jews is just a mocking name. It's not even the name that heaven gives to the Judean people. Because he was the father of Ephraim, that the true tribe kingdom, occupying the southern portion, that was called Judah, because his king were of the tribe of the Judah, and therefore if the Senate or college Jews, the term Israel according to the ultimate applies only unto the ten tribes. So when henceforth in these pages the reader comes upon the term Judah, Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph, he will understand precisely who they are designating, and will thus, as we proceed, better understand Yahweh's plan for the ingathering of the 12 tribes of the Israel and for the reuniting them into the one great kingdom. Okay.